Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
Statistics showed that in 2006, 50% of Christian men and 20% of Christian women were addicted to pornography. In 2001, there were a reported 74,000 adult pay websites on the internet. Another study had the adult porn industry making profits of over $13 billion. A 2008 survey of young adults found that 20% of teens have sent or posted nude or semi-nude pictures or videos of themselves. And 51% of teen girls say pressure from a guy is the reason they send sexy messages or images.
12% of all the websites out there in the whole WWW world, 12% of them are pornographic in nature.
Today we're welcoming back Vicky Teedy, and we're talking about her book, When Your Husband is Addicted to Pornography. This is a very difficult topic, and one that involves a great deal of loss for a woman. And Vicky, I love what you say about loss in the book and that you identify this as loss. And that's a topic that's really near and dear to my heart because it's what I wrote about in my book. Could you talk about loss as it applies to this issue of pornography addiction for a woman and her husband?
Certainly. You know, I think women experience many losses. Probably topping their list is trust in the wake of a betrayal of a husband's sexual addiction. You know, women say, and I experienced this myself, that they experience just complete loss of trust. I want to read a couple of little things. I interviewed 25 women for the book, and they shared their stories, and I put snippets in my book. And Paige said, after 26 years at a very good job, my husband lost his job due to viewing porn on his computer at work. All of a sudden, I was the main breadwinner in our family. It is not a position I ever wanted or dreamed I would have. It took a long time to get past this when it first happened. And another woman talked about attempting to refinance their home and at that point discovering that they had several credit cards that her husband had opened with charges in the tens of thousands, because for years those bills had been going to a post office box that was news to her. And her husband had worked and traveled often, and when he was taking these trips, he was paying for sex with prostitutes and, you know, paying for, you know, the pay-per-view programs on the TV. Jessica talked about, she said, definitely trust was lost and had to be rebuilt over the years. There have been times of relapse which have taught us how to rebuild trust on a continual basis. Initially, I felt like I had lost my husband. I didn't know who he was anymore, and it seemed that the vows he had made years before weren't even valid. I've been lied to for so long. Just this week, I talked to a woman who shared with me that she had been married 30 years, and at least 20 of those years, her husband has struggled with this addiction. Now, that's a long time, and she didn't realize it till long into that 20 years.
Yeah, I think this whole idea of I don't know who you are anymore is really huge. That's a huge loss for a person.
It is. And you know, though, I you know, challenge some women on that a little bit, because I think, in truth, they now really do know who their husband is. There's a part of himself that he has kept a secret for a long time. Mm. But when this is unveiled, if they consider it this way, they really do know more of him than they knew before. The challenge is, what are they going to do with that?
Right.
What are they going to do with that information?
How do you know if your husband's addicted to porn?
You know, there are some signs that you can that you can be watching for. And I, you know, want to caution women not to, you know, be looking so, you know, so carefully for any one of these signs that they're jumping on everything, but be aware of some things. For example, is he preoccupied with visual sexual images? Is he slow to change the channel when there's something that's inappropriate? Maybe he doesn't share password-protected internet accounts or email passwords. I think in a marriage, there's no reason to have secrets like that. Passwords should be known between a husband and wife. If you're discovering pornographic magazines or videos or computer websites, you know, the pornography people are out to get us here. I mean, there are $4.9 billion worth of sales in internet pornography every year, and 12% of all the websites out there in the whole WWW world, 12% of them are pornographic in nature. So it's not uncommon now and then to have a pop-up come up that is shocking, and you bounce your eyes and you close it down quickly and you know pray that you didn't get a virus from it on your computer. But if you're getting many, many pop-ups like this, there may be an indication that your husband has been to some sites that he shouldn't have been, and that now you do have, you know, an issue. If there are unexplained credit card expenses, like this woman that I just shared her story, if you're seeing expenses that don't add up, that he can't explain, that would be something worth asking questions about. I think one of the most common is that he's staying up long after everyone else is in bed. Often that's behind locked doors or closed doors at the very least. If you discover evidence of a post office box, if he seems disinterested in intimacy with you, but he's acting out in any of these other ways that I've suggested, then those would be some red flags.
Mm-hmm. I think part of what happens is that a woman finds this out and then she tries to fix or change her addict husband. She gets more and more frustrated and angry. And what she really needs is to understand, A, that her value and worth isn't based on her husband's performance, and B, that she can't change him. And we talked a little bit about that in the first show. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know what? I think there's some things that happen when you first discover that your husband's addicted to pornography, and it's just exactly what you named here, and she can't change him, and this is not about her, so her responsibility is to walk in obedience to God's word and figure out what that looks like. She can expect to be bombarded by a whole host of emotions, you know, guilt and sadness and fear. You know, all of this goes along with this, you know, loss that you're experiencing too. The pain is understandably going to feel incomprehensible. It's unimaginable. But I always want to assure women that the long arm of mercy can and will reach down and pluck you out of this pit that you feel like you're in. I think some women also in this situation, they think that maybe if they just ignore it, it might go away. And they chalk it up to boys will be boys or men will be men. And it doesn't go away. We talked about this a little bit in the first show as well, that there are levels of addiction, and left unchallenged, it's not uncommon for a man to escalate from level one to some of the more dangerous levels of addiction, which means level one is dangerous in and of itself. And then women need to find safe support. They need that desperately, to be supported and to have someone safe who they can talk to. And again, just accepting the fact that it's not in her power to fix her husband. That's
right.
Really critical for a woman to understand. She's not responsible for her husband's daily choices. And it isn't a reflection, like you said, on who she is. Her identity is solid in her relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
And she has only to look to him to see who Jesus says she is. And he finds her beautiful and acceptable. And Christ is going to pursue her until the day he takes her home. And that's something that we long for as women. And we long to be pursued by the men we've made a covenant with. But our first covenant is with Christ, and he will always be pursuing you.
Yes, we cannot change the people or the circumstances in our lives oftentimes, but we can choose our responses to them. And I think women really need to zero in on that. What is my response going to be? And I think a hard question a woman facing this struggle is, the woman needs to ask herself is, what is God up to in my life, in my heart, as a result of my husband's addiction? Because I can't be responsible for him or his behavior. But what's God doing in my heart and my life? Because it's normal to be angry at God, too.
Absolutely.
So absolutely, we've got to examine that. We've got to, you know, lay that out before the Lord. You mentioned,
and, you know, and I think Christ doesn't want us to stay where we're at. I mean, and so I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, what is he doing in my heart? Mm-hmm. We have a choice. We can stay in this place and we can wallow in it and we can become
bitter and
very bitter, very bitter. You know, we can go through this or we can grow through this. That's a phrase I use in the book. And, you know, this is a very uncomfortable place Christ has you in these circumstances. But nothing is in his economy is wasted. It is all put to use. And he will even use your pain for his purposes. And we have to trust that he knows what those are. And part of that purpose is for him to grow you in spiritual maturity. And it's not comfortable, but I'm confident that a comfort zone is usually a growth, or a comfort zone is never a growth zone.
Mm-hmm.
And a growth zone is never comfortable. So, you know, I think when we feel that this is just so incredibly painful, we have to trust that if we lean into Christ, he's going to grow us through this. And we're going to be closer in our relationship with him. And in the course of doing that, obviously, we're praying like crazy for our husband so that he, too, is growing in that relationship. And as we both grow closer to Christ, we both grow closer to one another. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's about those linear relationships that we have with Christ that are so critical.
Mm-hmm. And praying for your husband really is key. I think that unless we surrender our rights, and unless we get to a place of forgiveness, that's going to be really difficult for a woman to do. Can you talk about the whole forgiveness piece and how you personally went about that?
And you know, the thing about forgiveness in this situation is that it's daily. It's sometimes minute by minute.
Oh, absolutely it is.
You know, I mean, one, because the nature of the beast is this is an addiction, which means it's very likely not a one-time thing. It probably is going to rear its ugly head again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are experts that talk about the fact that you need to establish, is this a slip? Is this a slight lapse in progress on his part? Or is this a full relapse? I mean, there's a difference, and we need to expect that there are going to be slips. There are going to be things that happen, and we have to reconcile that with Christ, and we have to forgive sometimes over and over again. You know, I challenge women, though, that it's not necessary to forgive fast. I think we sometimes put on a good Christian woman face, and I've had women tell me that even as they're standing in the doorway and they're seeing their husband on the computer and they're seeing these images and they're having this first awareness of what's going on, and something catches in their spirit that says, I have to forgive him right now. And they'll say those words, and there's been no, you know, acceptance of responsibility. There's been no repentance. There's been no expression of desire to change their behavior. And she hasn't dealt with a single emotion yet. She probably doesn't even know what she's feeling in that moment yet. You know, all of those fears or anger or, and I just find that it's so important that if we're going to forgive, it better be real forgiveness, not cheap forgiveness.
Mm.
We've got to mean it. And so we can't necessarily really mean it unless we've worked through this other stuff. And when we say, I forgive you, we mean it. And we're not holding this pornography thing like a big club over our husband's head that we're going to beat him with.
Right.
Every time we, you know, get worked up or suspicious or anxious or whatever. I think it's just really important that we do the necessary work to be able to forgive like Christ forgave.
Hmm. Okay, so a woman finds out hubby has a problem with porn. What's next? What does she need? You know, we mentioned she needs some kind of support, so she needs maybe a friend, a pastor, you know, a couple people to walk alongside of her through this. That's going to be critical to have that support. Anything else you can suggest?
Is. You know, and I tell women, I think that's one of the most important things. Our tendency is to feel shame about this. And you know, I'm always hearing women say, I have no one to talk to about this. I've never told a soul.
Yeah, because she feels ashamed and embarrassed.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And they want to protect their husband. They're afraid
sure.
if anybody finds out, then...
What will they think of him? What will they think of me?
Yes.
Yeah.
And their children. I mean, there's so many ramifications of people finding out. And I absolutely understand that. But I also understand that for many men, they feel relieved to have the secret out and their wife is sharing this with them. But she feels like an albatross is wrapped around her neck. And she's bearing this all the time now and has nothing to do with it. I mean, and you don't discover very many wives' support groups. I think that's growing, and it's a huge need. And so women don't necessarily have places to go as quickly as men do. And so, you know, I encourage women to find somebody. And you know, I caution women against necessarily going to a close family member. And everyone has to make their own situation. They know their family better than obviously I do. But I do know that, you know, God willing, you and your husband are going to go on a path of reconciliation and healing. And your family member does not get to take that journey with you. And when you and your husband are back to where God, you know, living according to God's standard for marriage, and you're in a healthy, whole place, your family member may hold a lot of, you know, bitterness and anger and hostility even toward your husband. They may not let go of it because they've not been on that journey. So I encourage women to find someone who's going to be able to listen to them. And I say this to women who have friends in this situation. Listen to her and be a sounding board without feeling like you need to give a lot of counsel. Because here's the thing. Nobody knows what it's like to be married until you're married. No one knows what it feels like to be a widow until you've been a widow. You wouldn't begin to counsel someone who's a widow if you've never been there. Neither does anyone know what it feels like to be married to someone addicted to pornography until you're married to someone addicted to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it's your own experience, just listen. But then I tell women whose husbands are addicted, if you have an opportunity to find a network, a group of women who have been in your shoes or are in your shoes, cling to that group, because that can be it has the potential of being a very healthy healing place, because these women know how you feel. And especially if some of those women are walking now on the other side of this in victory, that's tremendous. Find a counselor. Find yourself a Christian counselor. I'm a firm believer in the help that can come from that. And so I encourage women to do that right away. If you know that your church is a safe place to deal with difficult things, sense of that, then by all means, go to your pastor as well. I think that can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. When women find out their husbands are doing porn, what I've experienced, you know, in my counseling practice is that they often try to compete and engage in activities that they don't really want to do to get their husbands to desire them sexually more.
Exactly.
What do you say to that?
Oh, I say, don't go there. You know what? That's just painful. And again, God has given you a standard for marriage and for what is right and pure and that which we're supposed to think and act on, and you need to maintain that. And what happens is that when a woman, for example, if it's proposed that you start looking at pornography with your husband, and I'm telling you, there are secular websites that will tell you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
You should lighten up and you should just enjoy this and you should watch porn with him. And, you know, I challenge women to think about the fact that if you're looking for help in your marriage and you want to grow in your marriage, would you go to a conference that's being conducted by someone who's been divorced 5 times? That's just, you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's telling you how to have a better marriage, it's not going to be the guy who's been married 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, you know, if you want to have a Christ-centered biblical marriage according to God's standard, you don't look at or engage in behaviors that are contrary to what he says is okay. God talks about sexual immorality more than 75 times in his word. He's not silent. He doesn't necessarily talk about pornography, although the word porneia is used repeatedly. And so, I just caution women vehemently against engaging in behaviors or thinking that if they do things like their husband may be seeing in the pornography, that's going to help the circumstances. It is not.
No, and it stays with them, too.
It does. Then they have this huge shame.
Sure.
That they have to contend with.
And then they may have to contend with anger at their husbands for putting them in that position.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just a vicious, ugly downward spiral. So,
well, how about intimacy? Should a woman be intimate with her husband after she discovers he's into pornography?
You know, Rita, I think that's the most difficult question that I had to handle in the book. I will tell you that many professional counselors encourage husband and wife, when they're both working on this issue, to take a sexual fast for a period of time. I often hear a month or 40 days or something in that realm, a time when you're stepping back and it's not about this physical thing, but that you're really dealing with your intimacy issues. You're dealing with yours as a wife, and you have them. You have intimacy issues. If you didn't before, you do now. And your husband has them. So a time to pull back and reestablish emotional intimacy with each other, spiritual intimacy with each other. You have to have those things in place before you can have healthy sexual intimacy with each other.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way toward sexual, or healing in this situation. At the same time, Scripture is very clear that we're not to withhold intimacy. And so, a woman reading my book is not going to hear me applaud her if she has chosen not to let her husband come near her in the last year or two or three. I've heard that from women. And that's not right either. You've got some issues that you've got to be addressing. And that's especially when I say get yourself and your husband to a counselor yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And Vicki, this is leads into, I love what you talk about in the book about black and white thinking. I teach my clients all the time about thinking errors, and I believe it's one of the most important things that we can do to move forward toward healing. If you're always telling yourself that your husband's a wretch or that he's worthless or that, you deserve to, have something better or that you shouldn't have sex with him because he's into this and he's such a horrible person,
right.
If you're continually feeding your mind with that, then you're never going to move toward healing.
Right.
So you really have to pay attention and watch what you're telling yourself. You have to really watch jumping to conclusions. If your husband is on a healing journey and he is repentant and he's trying to, get a hold of all this, jumping to conclusions and mind reading is going to be a huge thing that you're going to need to watch.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we fixate on those polars, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
They're either all good or they're all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely right. It's very dangerous thinking. And we become especially fond of the words always and never.
Right.
You always do this and you never do
that. Mm-hmm.
And, those are words that should almost be eliminated because they're rarely accurate. It's just so important for us to really, really be honest. And this is one aspect of their life where your husband is struggling, and that doesn't mean he's never done, good things or he isn't continuing to do good things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you focus on those negatives, then, you're tearing him down all the more. You're not contributing to healing. I talk too in the book about things you can do to create an environment of healing. And that is not one of them.
Right.
That is not going to help your circumstances.
What are the top three things that you want people to take away from this book, Vicki?
Number one is that I want them to know and be assured that she's not alone. That so many women think I'm the only one because people aren't talking about this very much. They talk about the men's addiction. They don't talk very much about the woman's pain and the fact that she is hurt. In fact, one of the things I hear women say often when they go to their pastors are so well-intentioned, but they don't know how to address the woman. And they say, well, I'll talk to your husband and we'll get him in this group and then it'll be better. Just because the behavior stops doesn't mean the havoc has stopped. So I think, helping her understand that she's not alone, that there are other women who know how she feels and that she's sane. She's not losing her mind here. I want her also to know that this isn't her fault. In the end, we're all responsible for ourselves and how we walk in obedience to God's word or don't. And she can't control her husband's choices, but this is not her fault. Oftentimes, he's told her that, but we as women, I think, are hardwired not to believe that. And third is that Jesus can and he will take the broken pieces of her heart, and he'll make something beautiful out of this. Psalm 147:3 assures us. It says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And Jesus in particular knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He made a sacred covenant with his people. He gave them his name, and much like a marriage. And throughout the entire Old Testament, we see evidence of them, you know, wounding him and choosing something or someone else and turning their back on him, betraying him. And he knows what that feels like. He knows what it feels like to be envious and to be angry and to be brokenhearted over this loss.
Amen.
And he can handle her tears. He can handle her anger. And that's why her healing is going to start at the foot of the cross.
Yeah. Man, our time has flown by again. I can't believe it. I have more questions. Tell us how we can get the book. How can people get the book?
You know, you can get it from New Growth Press is my publisher. They have copies available all the time, New Growth Press. But most places, Amazon, Christian Book and Gift, Westminster Bookstores actually is running, and New Growth Press is running a great special right now in the next couple of weeks, I believe till November 14th, so maybe it's just a week here, but that would be a fabulous place to get it. My website has them as well. So,
what's your website? Give us your website.
Oh, my website is Vicki, VickiTiede.com.
Perfect. Vicki, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me, Rita.
God bless.
I had a big hole in my heart, and I was just looking. I was looking everywhere.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.